And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And again, I want to give a special thank you to Beth Ann of CSC Talk Radio for sharing her time with us while Pastor Butch is out on vacation. Actually, he's down
vacation.
Well, he doesn't vacation, but I just have to say that.
Well, it gives me an opportunity to be with you, so that's okay.
It's okay, and I do appreciate it. He will be back next week, though. So,
okay.
But for today, it's going to be the two who are bringing the listeners our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events.
It is Thursday,
July 23rd, 2020. It's amazing. So, thank you again, Beth, for taking
welcome.
The time out, and I missed our programs. So.
I know. We were doing so good, but it was so early in the morning.
Yes, it was.
I'm glad to be here. Absolutely. I'm glad you thought of me.
Well, thank you. Well, you know what? Gold today. I'm thanking gold today. Gold was up another $1,490.
Wow.
At $1,887. We almost touched 19. I'll have to look at the futures contract to see if it did go over 19. But the high in New York spot price aftermarket was 1898. So almost. Silver had a little bit of a pullback, but come on, it was up 8% yesterday.
Yeah.
So yeah, you'd expect a little bit of a pullback. It was down 2.25% at $22.62. Platinum was down $2 at $922. Palladium was up 14 at $2,244. I'm interested to see. I didn't follow the dollar today, but where is that little puppy? 94.81. 94.81 down 0.17. Crude oil was down 75 cents at 41.15. And the paper markets today, they were all up big earlier in the day, and they all had reversals. The Dow was down 1.31%, 1.3%, down 353 points, 26,652. The NASDAQ was down 2.3%, down 244 points, 10,461. The S&P was down 40 points at 3,235. 10-year yield, 0.58%. 0.58%.
Wow.
You know, it was trending between, 6.0 and 6.5. And it broke 6.0, so kind of interesting there. European and Asian markets pretty much unchanged. And that's it. So an exciting day for gold. And it's been an exciting week for gold and silver, particularly silver, seeing it rise above those numbers. And again, pullbacks are okay, but what you can't forget is, yes, the price is expensive, but what else are you going to do with those fiat dollars? What other investment, where can you park those fiat dollars and feel safe? And it's not a matter of how much money you can make. It's not a matter of what the return and what the higher yield is going to be. It's about keeping what you have. We've lost sight of that. Because we can't live.
Everybody's retirements are relying on that stock market, on those investments.
You're right.
And it's looking pretty ugly. I had an article that came in late yesterday afternoon, and it was talking about the battered U.S. dollar hanging by a thread. And it says, as coronavirus cases grow, blaming the corona on it, said the buck is down 8% from its highs of the year against a basket of currencies and standards near its lowest level since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's all I know. It's not doing
good. And, it's always interesting is because when President Trump, my BFF, not true, Larry Kudlow, I remember, and that was about the time in 2018 when he hired Larry Kudlow. And I remember turning on Bloomberg, like about 3 in the morning, there was an interview with Kudlow. And Kudlow's there, sell gold and buy the dollar. And the dollar went up and gold went down. And I'm surprised we haven't heard much from Larry Kudlow with the dollar weakening. But again, that's what they need. Government needs a lower currency. Government needs it. So they will tell you, and the herds will follow. You know, they hang on to every breath that, you know, government and
people that are
Wall Street wants them to hear. Yeah. And they follow
people
them around like a little puppy dog. But in the long term, government needs a lower dollar. Government wants inflation, and we're going to get it. That's the only way they can survive going forward. So, so great week for the precious metals. And, you know, we've been talking about some of these too big to fail banks, and their analysts are coming out recommending gold. And, yeah, I'm not a fan of these banks and the too big to fails. But you know what? They have lots of bucks, and people listen, and they can make money move. And you're going to see silver. I think they'll run it. It's a small market to run. I think they'll run it. And then I think the fundamentals will come into play. And with gold, too, the fundamentals will come into play. And they'll push the original paper players, and they'll push it into real numbers. And the fundamentals will grow and strengthen the base. And who knows where these prices will go. I see gold 3,000, 5,000 easy.
You know, you said that the other day, and I saw something this week, first part of the week. It said by December, I can't remember the date. I remember this. It was a few months down the road, they thought it would hit 2,000. And I thought, wait a minute, that doesn't sound, because they're not that far from that now. So maybe I misread it, but I thought immediately of what you had said last week. So
there are predictions that gold will hit 2,000. Yeah, you're right. You're right. There's predictions out there from some various central, not central banks, but the too big to fail banks, 2,000 gold by the end of the year. And you're right, too. It's not that far away, so we'll hit it much sooner than that, particularly as we head into the election. I mean, the person doesn't even have to read articles. All they have to do is look at the headlines and believe half of it.
Absolutely. Headlines
and
say
an
awful lot.
It's frightening.
It is.
You have one.
It is frightening.
We're going to talk a little bit more about finances here in a little bit, but you have something about the violence in America.
Oh, yeah, the violence. We just keep seeing it. And I'm trying to find out. I didn't have that one out first. You kind of messed with me there.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I didn't know where we would go first. But the violence in America... I don't even find that article right now. Was basically me talking about all these things that are going on with the mayors and the federal troops coming in there to protect the buildings, to protect the federal buildings, the courthouses, and those kind of things, and these mayors fighting it. And of course, they're trying to push off. You know, can't legislate good sense, but they're trying to push it to make it that these mayors are responsible for these businesses that end up getting burned or destroyed because of their lack of taking care of rule of law and order. You know, they took an oath. And you and I read that the other day on the air, the oath. No, it was Mindy, excuse me. And they take an oath of office, and that's part of their oath is to uphold law and order, to keep the citizens safe. And they're not doing that. And, of course, they're not doing it on purpose. They're trying to make as much divide and conquer as they possibly can and pit one against the other. And the Democrats are pushing this. And we see violence in America like I don't ever remember. Of course, I was a kid when we had some of the other uprisings, but this is different. And I also had Dr. Dana Chang on from Epoch Times this week, and we talked about, she's their China expert, and she's actually from China. And she was talking about, and my husband said after he heard the show, he did some history and he did some looking up as to the history of China. She talked about their culture war and what they did when they came in and had this regime change. And they took out all the history and everything that the people, even the religion, everything that they had, they took it all away. They just removed it all. And it was violent. And that's what we're seeing here. And I believe China is behind a lot of this, you know, this disturbance that's going on, and it's being promoted by the Democrat Party and the rhinos, the globalists, because they're all in bed with China. They're all in bed with the global idea. And so it's the same type of violence that we're seeing to remove our history, to remove our religion. The Christianity is under attack right now, and these mayors are not happy about the president coming in and trying to rescue the federal buildings and that kind of thing. And so it's, you know, the violence is just spiking. It's just getting worse. And I told my husband, I said, I'm certainly glad that I do not live in the city. But they'll be coming this direction if this keeps up. It's scary times. I really do think it's scary times.
I do too, and I think what makes it or tells me that it's not going away is there's no breaks in between.
No.
Usually in the past when there was uprisings and so forth, it was on the weekends, you know, or
nobody,
you know, they do
right
it for
now.
A couple days and they go home
job,
and drink
actually,
their beer.
They're getting paid.
You know, so, you know, or it was a week, not months. And they were, it was different. It is different.
And it continues
it
to escalate.
Is scary.
It continues to escalate. And, you know, we see these, you know, the Mayor Lightfoot, she's not wanting help. She's relented to some help now, I think. But they were interviewing some of the people on the street, and they said, we need help. We need the federal government to come in here. We want it. I applaud it, you know, because they've given the police a stand down. They've given the police a filthy name. And, you know, it's just not good what's going on. And the people, they want law and order. They want peace. They want their children to be safe in a park, in a carriage, in a buggy, you know, pushing the baby around in a baby carriage. You know, they get shot in the baby carriages. They get shot playing on the swings. I mean, the children are, and then, you know, the big shooting that they had at the funeral. I mean, it reminds me of the old gangster movies, Melody, where they're just shooting each other. Doesn't matter where they're at. They're going to go get them while they're there. And, you know, it's just scary times. And I am so thankful that I'm where I am, away from that.
But then there's the line that the federal government shouldn't cross.
Should not cross.
And that is also the scary part. Because the big question is, has the federal government crossed that line? And it's pretty easy to say in some cases, yes.
Well, I think they crossed a line a long time ago in Congress. We have presidents
along the road that have
crossed the line. But right now, are we just supposed to let these people's homes and their businesses just burn? Are we supposed to let them go in and take these courthouses and burn them?
It's up to the cities. It's up to the cities.
Well, not the federal ones.
Hmm?
Is it up to the city to take care of the federal courthouses?
I don't know. You know, if that is the only thing that they're protecting, but I don't know if that's the only thing that's being protected.
Well, I'm not saying I got all the answers. I'm just...
I don't either.
I feel bad,
you know,
for these people that are stuck there. And these, of course, these mayors and those officials, they have some safety. But the people don't.
They've removed all their safety. But hey, they voted them in. They knew what they were getting.
I didn't vote Obama in, but I had to put up with his laws.
I saw the Portland mayor, and I thought that was the most disgusting appearance from a leader of a city that I ever saw. It's despicable.
I guess I missed that.
He's protesting. He's in with the protesters.
Oh, okay.
Raising his
fists.
Yeah, talking about, I'm with you. While his city burns, or whatever. I don't know if it's burning, but, and they were part of the one. He was with the group that was tear gassed. And I'm thinking,
that's too bad.
Nuts.
He took an oath to protect that city.
He did.
Yeah. They've breached their oath of office over and over and over again.
Over and over and over. Yeah. You're right.
Mayor Lightfoot and de Blasio and this guy from Portland. And then they had these, it was in Colorado where even Michelle Machen and some others, it was dangerous. The guy said, I've been in combat. He said, and I don't know when I've ever been so afraid. Because they got on stage. And he said, we just barely made it out of there. She lost a shoe. I kind of had to chuckle about that one, but she lost a shoe trying to get away. Mm. Michelle Machen. It's bad right now, and they don't care who they harm. They don't care. It doesn't matter. No life matters to them. None.
No.
The destruction of this nation.
But military groups in some of these cities, but it's a difficult position to be. But we can't pick and choose when we want to follow the Constitution and when we don't. And I get that the Constitution is hardly followed. And I remember, Bush, it's just a, blah, 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 blah
piece
of paper.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, for us, we still have to, what's right,
Well, the riots that are in there, they're unconstitutional. Those are not peaceful protests. They are unconstitutional attacks on this land.
That's
we are being attacked on this land.
Mm-hmm.
There's no two ways about it.
True. Very
true. You know, my son that was in the service, he said, I took an oath to defend this nation from enemies, domestic as well as foreign.
Domestic,
and right now, it is a domestic enemy.
That is very true.
The Constitution has been broken all over the place.
It sure has been. And what's broken is our first 20 minutes. We're heading into a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. We have Silver Eagles, and you realize they're almost $30. Premiums have jumped that much. Price has gone up that much. And we do have some other product available that'll save you some. We have 90% silver. You're paying about $250 over spot. We have the Kangaroos, Britannias, Kruger Ann's silver. They're running maybe $350 to $400 over, depending on your amount. But of course, the Silver Eagles have the highest premium of all. But there are options out there. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. You know, Beth, we're talking about drawing line in the sand.
Yeah.
And when was the last time you heard the two words tea party?
Well, it's been a while.
It's been a while. Well, this is out of the Hill. And the headline reads, Tea Party rises up against McConnell's $1 trillion relief plan. What happened to him for the past $20 trillion, say? You know, I mean, it's now the debate over the size of this next coronavirus relief bill is reopening the same divisions within the Republican Party that spawned the Tea Party movement more than 10 years ago. And, you know, it's putting a little bit of pressure on little old Mitchie in a delicate spot.
He needs some pressure on him.
He needs some. Little Mitchie. McConnell is up for reelection in fall. We know this. And,
oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do we
mm-hmm.
have any Republicans running against him?
I think so. I think he has some competition. But his home state colleague, which is Senator Rand Paul, you know, and he's always been a Tea Party favorite, he is taking an outspoken stand against another large federal relief package. Well, there's one Tea Partier there.
I saw that.
This situation is eerily similar to 2008 when McConnell was up for his reelection for his fifth Senate term. Can you imagine the fifth then, 2008? That fall, Congress was under intense pressure to pass an expensive relief bill to stave off a possible depression. While there was an unpopular Republican in the White House and a presidential election only weeks away, the first relief bill that Congress passed, which created the TARP program, and which McConnell supported, was later labeled a Wall Street bailout and by disgruntled conservatives who saw it as, the terrible spending of 8 years under the Bush. And it goes on, this article's on and on and on, and they're still talking about 2008, 2010. So I'm not quite sure. McConnell on a lunch meeting Tuesday with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and Mark Meadows, the White House Chief of Staff, and Republican senators told colleagues he wants to keep the size of the next package at $1 trillion. This is Rand Paul.
Oh, bless his heart.
But that hasn't satisfied some Tea Party Republicans. Cruz declared he is a heck no on McConnell's emerging coronavirus relief proposal, and it goes on and on and on. But, you know, where were these guys? I mean, they're just shameless. They really are. I guess they're heading up into
that
election.
No stuff a long time ago.
I mean, I guess they're heading into an election, too. Maybe. Maybe that's what it's all about.
Maybe. I mean, well, now Cruz just won his, and they go for 6 years. He's senator, so I don't think he is yet. Mitch McConnell, I knew things weren't going to change when they put him back there as a head. I knew that wasn't going to change. Head of the
They're all disgusting. They really are.
Yeah. Well, they're all, the majority of them are globalists. There may be a handful that aren't, but the majority of them are, and they don't really like the president either, and they want things to go back to the bureaucracy and the the way they were running things unconstitutionally, and that's what they want it to go back to. Not that it ever quit. He's trying a little bit to fight it here and there, but we're still a long way from getting clearing out that swamp.
Yeah.
But,
if it didn't get
deeper. I don't remember if I told you this. That's the thing. I talk too much. I don't remember who I told. But I read something where they were upset with Donald Trump over the DACA comment that he made. He hasn't done anything yet, but it's got to end somewhere. Sometime, something's got to be done. They got to come to a closure on it in some way, shape, size, or form. He's not wanting to give amnesty across the board. I know that. But it's said that the conservatives were very, they were going to be, the ones that elected him for that are going to be very upset with him, and they're going to vote third party. And I'm thinking, he is their third party. I don't know whether people realize that or not. He's not really a Republican, and he's not really a Democrat. He just happens to be in the Republican Party. But
that's true. That's true. Actually,
anyway.
He's not even a third party. He's his own party.
Well, isn't that what a third party really is?
Yeah, I guess. But
anyway, well, I guess not. They do get people that back him, and I guess he has had some. But it's just crazy what we're going through, you know. And one of the other stories I had was about the illegal immigrants, and of course, Donald Trump is trying to not allow them to count the illegal immigrants in order to determine districts and representation. This is another way that the good old Congress likes to go around the Electoral College or use it to their advantage. Yeah. And they've been redistricting across the nation, and they did it here in Missouri, and put a little bit of the city in with the rural and just changed the district, so the city out votes the rural area. And in this way, you know, they can control the Electoral College. Because I don't think they haven't gotten to where they can just get rid of it altogether, because there's a few of us yet that still believe in it. But if they go around it and continue to do things like that, then it becomes insignificant. It's not protecting the minority as it did at once upon a time. So anyway, he's taken the brunt for that. You know, Trump signs this order excluding them, illegal aliens from the census numbers used for congressional districts. That's the only thing he's doing. They still get to be counted. They just don't get to be counted and included for districting. And, you know, the House is going to fight him on it. They're going to fight him tooth and toenail. You know, we've got a big debate going on about the mail-in voting, and we're not talking about absentee votes either. That's not what we're talking about. And Rudy had printed this off for me earlier today, and it's a quote from Joseph Stalin. Who votes does not matter. Who counts the votes matters.
Yes.
And I thought, well, yep, that's kind of appropriate. And, you know, that's why they've got those machines. They're going all electronic, and they've got the machines that'll count the votes, and they're computerized, and they can program them to do whatever they want. I still believe in paper ballots, but...
Well, let me ask you a question. Yeah, I do, too. I mean, that is the system. But on the other hand, we know what direction we're headed. What I don't understand is, why isn't someone taking the lead and fixing it? Fixing it and creating checks and balances. And I don't know if it's the state's responsibilities or if it would be the federal government's responsibility for those checks and balances to prevent or to eliminate or to at least, I mean, because you're always going to have some sort of voter fraud. I mean, that's just going to happen.
On both sides, I'm sure.
On both sides.
Yeah.
But instead of just everybody is just, well, this is what we're going to do. Well, you just can't do that and blah, 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 because, you know, fix it. Come up with something. Come up with an answer.
The fixing is going to come out of Congress, and right now it is way against the Constitution. It's way against the people. They keep claiming they're for the people, but Nancy Pelosi wants this so bad she could just taste it. You know, she's practically drooling as her teeth fall out of her mouth, so does her drool. And, you know, they don't want to fix it. Let me put it that way. The Charlie Reese article from years and years ago, if Congress wanted to fix it, they would have fixed things a long time ago, but they don't want to fix it. It's like you said, they've got to keep the inflation going. It's the only way to survive. They don't want to fix it.
Yeah.
They don't want to fix the immigration problem. They don't want to fix it.
True. They can't fix it because it's too far gone.
The immigration or the inflation or the money?
All of
it. Definitely.
All of it.
But, you know, it gets my goat that they keep crying out about this immigration issue. They're the ones who make the laws. Mm-hmm. And then they're mad if somebody tries to enforce the laws they made. Go back to the law. If you don't like the law, you change it. You're the one who made the law. You're the one with that responsibility according to the Constitution. But they don't do it that way. They want to make the laws and whatever is popular at that moment and then fuss later for whatever they think is popular and scream racist about everything. The true answer is they don't fix things because they don't want to fix them.
Doesn't benefit them. Their lobbyists,
no.
their controllers told them not to.
You know,
it's not in their best interest financially.
I didn't realize how correct I was. But it dawned on me when Trump was running for president. I never could understand why they all hated him so much. I knew it wasn't his lifestyle. That they didn't care about that. You know, I go back to when he was younger and I thought he was, you know, rich, spoiled brat boy. And but they didn't hate that about him. And it just dawned on me one night. It's the immigration and the trade. And that has continued to escalate during his time as president. But it goes so much deeper than that. It's not just a little trade issue. We're talking globally here, and we're talking how deeply embedded China is in this country and with our Congress. I mean, it wasn't that long ago we found out that Dianne Feinstein had a Chinese spy as her office manager. Nobody talks about that anymore. She claimed he was the chauffeur, but he wasn't. He was her office manager. Nobody talks about that anymore. But they're all embedded with China, and that's why they're not. They'll sit there and call Trump a racist. But China is putting people in prison. They're putting them in encampments, and they're using them for harvesting organs. China uses child slave labor. China is a horrible, horrible country, the communist China. The people are under terrible, terrible regime there. But Congress defends China and calls our president a racist and is okay with all this looting and burning and rioting in the cities and in the streets and the killing of the children in Chicago and New York and wherever the case may be. They don't want to fix it. They're getting too rich with the problem. They don't care about the people. They don't care about you and me or our families. Unfortunately, we're just the pawns.
Well, absolutely we are. I mean, I agree with you as far as China. I mean, for years I've been saying, you know, everybody was thinking they were the best,
not make them rich and they'll be
people,
good.
But the government. I mean, what do not people understand? They're communists. Now all of a sudden they're kinder, gentler, communist nation. I mean, it changed. What did you expect would happen? But what I think why it seems that everyone is against President Trump, it isn't him that they were afraid of or what he would challenge and so forth. It was the people.
The American people.
It was the American people who gathered around him because he said the things that we know are the problems of this country, and that made us stronger. So they had to ridicule him in order to weaken us.
Mm-hmm.
That
they truly
is why
believe
they
we are
him.
Deplorables and insignificant. They
well,
truly
I mean,
believe
but
that.
That is why they continue is to break us. And
absolutely.
To make us
it's
the people that believe
his,
the
ours.
Things that he said. Pardon?
It's our punishment, not his. They're punishing us.
They want to weaken us.
Exactly.
Not a matter of punishment. They want to weaken us, and they want to break up our strength. That's what it was about. And, you know, I think the connection with China, multinational corporations, it's the, you know, the and you're right, with the, it, you know, follow the money.
Right. Absolutely.
That's all you got to do.
Look at the NFL and the NBA and you know, all these that are the Hollywood, they're all making money with China. So they're not going to say anything against China.
Yeah.
And the universities.
You know, and I don't, and you know, it's, I mean, and that's from the top down. I mean, mm-hmm. we exported our inflation. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bob Chapman used to talk all the time. We exported our inflation to China, and we were able to buy all their cheap trinkets, keeping our inflation down, keeping the numbers down. It's fakery. We still have inflation. And I mean, it's bizarre
to the
position that they've placed this nation, and because and it all does come
now.
Down to the money.
Yeah.
Pardon?
We're in a position now where we're dependent on other nations for survival.
Yeah.
That is not a sovereign nation.
Not at all.
And China is the worst of all, and they have one goal, and that's for global dominance. That in and of itself is evil, and that's what they're after. And they're in trouble right now. They are hurting. We have been putting a little hurt on them. Not enough, but a little bit. I think the American people with the pandemic, realizing that 97% of our medical supplies and pharmaceuticals come from China.
That's frightening. Hey, what's frightening is we're heading in for a break. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Let's go on to something else. You know, the USPS, they're talking about, you know, they face $22 billion in losses over 18 months. And you know what? Again, this is something that they've been set up to fail. All right? The USPS has been reporting losses for over a decade. The Government Accountability Office released a report in 2017 that classified the services as high risk, a classification that indicates that a government operation is very vulnerable to fraud, waste, abuse, and mismanagement. Since that report, few of the concerns that the postal system has been reporting have been addressed, and the service has remained high risk. Now, the problem, and why I say they've been set up to fail. Now, we look at USPS, it's a unique service of the federal government, mm-hmm. in that it only is supported by its own revenues. You know, much like private business usually operates. But in 2006, the government moved to modernize the system with the Post Office Accountability Enhancement Act, which mandated that the USPS deliver mail 6 days per week, updated rate setting and classification of mail items, and this is the clincher, required that the service pre-fund health and retirement benefits for all employees for not 10 years, not 20 years, not 30 years, not 40 years, but 50 years.
Wow.
Pre-fund. Yeah, there is no other entity in the public or the private sector that is required to pre-fund their retirement benefits. In fact, most of them are underfunded.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's 50 years. I mean, are you kidding me? I knew they had to pre-fund, but for some reason in my head, I thought it was like 10 or 20 years. I forgot that it was actually 50. Former Congressman John McHugh was chairman of the House Oversight Committee's Postal Service Subcommittee, co-signed the PAEA in 2006. He says, I didn't support that provision at the time. This was an 11-year undertaking, and the chairman of the full committee, in a spirit of compromise, agreed to accept it.
In the spirit of compromise, we decided to put it to the American people.
It originally came from the Bush administration, who felt in theory if you were going to allow the Postal Service to compete like a private business, we should require it to, in areas like benefits, operate like a private business and fully fund it. But not for 50 years. Good grief. So, again, what's the reason behind it?
Yeah,
you know, a business that would have to fail eventually. Huh. And the taxpayers, so now they're, and that's what this was about, that they're looking to, I think it was Schumer, he's pushing for a $25 billion bailout to keep the system, to keep it from closing down as part of the next round of COVID-19 relief legislation.
Well, if they're going to run it like a private business, why don't they start revamping it? Instead of delivering mail 6 days a week, why don't they just deliver mail 5 days a week? Hmm? Forget the weekend. It can wait till Monday. You can't do anything anyway.
Well, yeah, how about pre-funding for maybe 10 years instead of 50? Or not pre-funding at all. Do
right.
it like everybody else. It's amazing.
And
what are these people doing? It's just another sign of the incompetence and the corruption. Because if you probably looked a little bit deeper into the story or did a little bit of investigation, you'll see how all the, you know, the dots would connect of who wants to take it over when it does become a private. I mean, it really is amazing. And prices keep rising. How much higher can they do? My registered and insured packages, since 2006, you probably caught every package was under $20. Every one. It didn't matter if you insured it for $25,000 or not. Now you can't get it done for $40 or $50.
Well, I know. It's so expensive to send anything. And they have competition now.
And they have competition.
They have lots of competition that's outdoing them.
And then you have Amazon, who goes in and makes a deal with the post office that makes them work 6 days a week now, or 7 days a week, because they have to deliver Amazon packages on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And they get it at such a low rate, but they process so many packages, they have to increase their other packages to make up for the loss. Plus, the people are working more overtime, and their union in there. I mean,
yeah,
I have a good friend in there. And, I mean, some of the things that these unions do, it's just like, where do these people come from? What are they thinking? Where is the common sense?
No, there isn't any.
Nope.
There isn't any. So I would assume if they cut a deal with Amazon, they got a little money for that. But it's the American people that are paying our salaries.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, they got a little money for it, but they were hurting so bad because Amazon went in there right after, you know, the Great Recession, when the post office was really began to hurt, and then they came in and, you know, when all of their junk mail dried up, all their advertisements and magazines and everything went online.
They claimed email, you know, the internet messed them all up, took their profits away. But that's when you cut back. But they didn't cut back. And like I said, they never did run it like it was a private business. Because the private business would have gone in there and with common sense, analyzed it and made some changes so that it could make a profit.
Yeah.
May not have as many employees. May have to work, you know, instead of delivering 6 days a week or 7 days a week, they only deliver 5 days a week. There's other things they could have done, but all they do is keep going up with it's getting more costly to send a letter, and it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. And the things they go through when you go up to the post office and what they have to go through to send a package, it's just crazy.
It is. And, you know, we complain and moan and groan, oh, it took 5 days for an envelope to go from... You know, and we really shouldn't. I mean,
I'm right there
with it.
I remember when you used to order something in a magazine, say, allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery, and now we think it needs to be there in 24 hours.
24 hours.
It's kind of like the microwave. 6 minutes, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
We're spoiled. Definitely spoiled.
Yes, we are. So, I mean, with what they do in the registered and insured shipping is probably the best, safest way. I know that we ship precious metals. Sure, we do UPS, and once in a while we'll do FedEx, depending on product and where it's going and so forth. And but UPS has stepped up their program, too. But you know what? I would take registered and insured U.S. mail all day long over any other service. So they do have that. And, you know, I'm just not talking about precious metals, but other valuables. Jewelry. Registered and insured is a very, they use registered and insured a lot, shipping diamonds and gems and so forth. So, I mean, it's big business, and yet they have to pre-fund their retirement for 50 years. Ridiculous.
Wow.
You know, here's another interesting stat, Beth. A third of U.S. credit card users, some 70 million, Again, this is just another sign of what we're facing when the real numbers begin to impact and that there will be no V recovery. 70 million people just had their credit card limits cut or accounts closed. I think that's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
Card issuers are paring credit limits to avoid potential losses from cash-strapped Americans. Hey, they're protecting their businesses, many of whom could struggle. Yeah, and they're doing it before they're actually really impacted yet. They're preparing for it.
Right.
Just like people should prepare for what's coming with gold and silver. So they're preparing for cash-strapped Americans, many of whom could struggle to make payments as the economy reels from the impact of the pandemic. That means that, well, that's just the excuse. Remember, folks, we were in a recession since February. That was actually before they really closed anything. We were already in a recession.
Headed that way, Yeah,
not too many people know that, but our listeners do. That means that more cardholders should expect to have their credit cards limits slashed or to have dormant accounts closed involuntarily. Millennials aged 24 to 39 who make at least $75,000 a year were the largest group affected. Lenders are likely closing accounts because those cards just aren't used regularly. Consumers should consider moving small recurring payments such as their monthly fee. I didn't mean monthly P, I meant monthly fee for a streaming service.
Something wrong.
Yeah. Drink more water. Well, where's after that? I can't go on with this article. But anyway, okay. the nation's credit card debt stands at about $1.1 trillion and has been growing steadily since 2015. So it's that debt is crushing families. 50 million people had their credit card limits reduced or closed in April. And so, again, it's just another sign. That's what we do here. We bring you signs. You can connect the dots, and you can kind of predict the future, where we're headed. We don't know the time frame. Time frame can always surprise us. But
just watch out for those birth pains. That's what you got to do. You know, I've got a C.S. Lewis quote here. It says, "What you see and what you hear depends a great deal on where you are standing. It also depends on what sort of person you are." I thought that was a pretty good statement. That's from C.S. Lewis. Thinking about what we're being, you know, the things that we're hearing and seeing and reading and stuff in the news and even the information that you and I give on the air, you know, it depends on where we are. But it also depends on what kind of person we are. My dad told me one time when I was a teenager, I was having some problems in school with some people, and my dad said, "People judge you by the way they are." He says that's how they would react and behave, and so they judge you that way. And I see that so much right now going on in this country. Remember when they ask candidate Trump, "Are you going to accept it when you lose?" Because Hillary had no intentions of accepting a loss and never did. And now they're asking that same question again. And here we see all these signs of things that are collapsing in this nation. And what we see and how we interpret it depends on where we are, but it also depends on the kind of person we are. And I just thought that was a pretty good statement.
That is very good. That is very good.
I like C.S. Lewis. So.
Well, we have about 2 minutes left of the program, and I really enjoyed. I missed our programs. And,
yeah. We had a good time together.
Yes, and I do hope you do come back.
I will come back, and I think you'll be back on my show next week.
Yes, I will be. Is there anything that you'd like to next week? I better check my calendar.
Well, I better check mine, too. I said that because you weren't here this week, and it's usually every other week, but we better check
it
for sure.
Well, there was 2 weeks I had off, so.
Well, you know,
anyway.
I, uh, I there's different places that I go for information, and I won't necessarily give that right now, but this article that I read, the globalists are coming. I just want your listeners and my listeners to practice what C.S. Lewis said, and it depends on where, what kind of a person you are, how you interpret these things, but I think that we can see and feel the birth pains and things that are happening here with the collapse of this nation. It's an overtaking of this nation. It's really not new, but they're afraid they're going to lose their foothold. And that's why it is so violent right now. But this guy is talking about the globalists are coming. And in his last sentence on there, he says, I'm hanging a lantern in the old North Church because the globalists are coming. But he's talking about China, and he's talking about many of our people here in prominent positions and going along with China, and how it's you know, we've got to recognize the enemy to know how to fight it. And the enemy is really here. China is just using them. They're China's useful idiots now. But I just think that your listeners and my listeners need to take everything we say, because we may not always interpret it right, but take everything we say and as they said, Mary did, ponder it. Think about what's happening.
Very good. Thank you for closing the program with that. I appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome.
Very good.
You're welcome.
And I want to thank
welcome.
The listeners for joining us today, and we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.